City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9. The best of Roy Basnett.
Hello and welcome to this week's podcast from the Roy Basnett Show. Each week we will be bringing you some classic moments from our award-winning programme on City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. Don't forget, if you want to hear the show live along with our latest guests and discussions, you can join me weekdays between 2 and 6am on City Talk across the North West and North Wales on 105.9 FM or DAB Digital Radio. Or you can listen live online at citytalk.fm. This week we hear from Dr. Leonard G. Horowitz and his interesting views on a variety of subjects, including the CIA, Hollywood, and bioterrorism.
City Talk 105.9, the best of Roy Basnett.
Len, it's, you know, there are many, many questions that I could ask you, so many so it's difficult to know where to actually begin. So what I would like to start with is going back to you as a person, what your lifestyle was like before you kind of questioned the official version of events.
Oh, gee, I was a pretty normal dentist, used to drill, fill, and bill for a living. And, you know, that's what it was like. I had a wonderful wife and was engaged in living in a beautiful place in eastern Massachusetts, and had, you know, a lot of academic interest. I was engaged with Harvard School of Public Health and engaged at the top of my field, really, because I was the chief professional advisor for the largest dental and medical catalog supply company in the world. I used to give advice to all the people, the movers and shakers of the company.
Right, I see. So everything's good. I mean, for most people, that kind of lifestyle, yeah, that would be mission accomplished throughout life, I would have thought. So what kind of got you thinking, you know, I'm looking at the news, I'm listening to the TV and looking at the TV and listening to the radio, and something isn't quite right. What was your first kind of interest in this?
Well, you know, to be frank, you know, I had a very, very interesting friend when I was 19 who could literally move things without touching them. She was a telekinetic.
Wow.
And it blew my belief systems and standard laws of physics that we were learning. And so I went to Rutgers College way back in 1970 through 74, and I had inquired in the physics department how this could be possible. So I did get an early start in metaphysics and looking at things a little differently, and I always maintained high level of integrity. I always wanted to tell the truth and do the best that I could do for whoever and whatever I was doing. And so, you know, I ended up back in 1990 getting engaged in an investigation where the United States government was covering up evidence, and it made me feel very uncomfortable. Mm. And I then began to write and speak on the issue, and right, that's where my life changed. It really went into a different spin, so to speak.
Yeah. Sorry, Len, can I ask what that particular event was that you felt the government were covering something up?
Certainly. It was the case, a very famous case in the United States. I don't know if people in Britain may not have heard of it unless you're in healthcare, of a Florida dentist that infected six of his patients with his strain of the AIDS virus. And it was a great mystery. It's been heralded as one of the greatest, quote, unsolved mysteries in the annals of medicine. And I solved the mystery. It's just been covered up.
Right. I see. So that obviously was where you cut your teeth. That was where, no pun intended there, of course, because of your previous profession. And then what happened after that?
Well, I was blacklisted. You know, I used to be on the lecture circuits for both dental and medical associations without any restraints. And I was fired from my $40,000 a year consulting position with Henry Schein Corporation. I was blacklisted from the American Dental. And in fact, you know, it's interesting you're calling from Britain. The only support that I got throughout this entire period was from Britain. The British Dental Journal actually published a scientific report that the American publications refused to publish. And then long after that, another British publisher that's now linked to Elsevier, which is the top-of-the-line science journals. I have about 30 scientific peer-review publications, and I've gotten most of my support, interestingly enough, from British publications.
Right, I see. Well, that obviously must have got you thinking. In view of the, you know, you'd come up with the answer to this, the official version of events was whitewashed, if you like, according to what you're telling us there. That must have got you thinking, well, if I'm right on this, then there's potential for me to be right on other things, or that other people have been right on things, and they've been similar, in the same as you, they've been kind of, washed over.
Absolutely. I think the thing that makes you absolutely certain that we have a problem is if we were truly practicing science with an open, unbiased perspective, then we would have discussions. We would engage all the theories that people are advancing with a fair amount of scientific support, and do our due diligence to test theories. And basically, that's not what we see in mainstream media, particularly in the United States. We're witnessing it's the same really in Britain, too. I mean, BBC is not any better. Maybe you're getting a little bit more of a European view, but still you're not getting the full measure of truth that shall set people free.
Give me some areas where you believe that we are not getting the full picture.
The biological weapons arena, that's where I have a special expertise. You know, you're not told what's being made in the laboratories and how it's getting out and how it's being injected, and people are being infected and intoxicated by what's being injected. The vaccines, the pharmaceutical industrialists, the control that the mainstream media is under by the drug industrialists is genocidal. And you're not getting anywhere close to a full picture of that.
Right. Well, if we stick with that, then let's talk about pharmaceuticals and this biological warfare, if you like. When you refer to biological warfare, most people listening would be thinking something that would be used in the battlefield. Is that not the case?
That's not the case. Yeah, I mean, that is the reason why taxpayers and government officials allegedly fund this research. But that's not really what's taking place. What's really taking place is you've got outbreaks that are occurring through contaminated vaccinations. And I note to some maybe listening, if this is new to you, it may sound like a foolish conspiracy theory, but I assure you, if you do your due diligence and you review the science, you'll be horrified, and you'll be as certain as I am that there's a lot of money being made by intoxicating the population through contaminated vaccinations, and that those contaminants source from laboratories. The greatest example, the most profound and genocidal example, is HIV/AIDS. The AIDS virus was undoubtedly man-made. In the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, which is an American bestseller, it's one of 16 books that I have. I have 3 national bestsellers in the United States. Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola has reprinted in it the United States government contracts under which numerous AIDS-like and Ebola-like viruses were bioengineered way back in the 1960s, late 60s, early 70s, by the United States Army's 6th top biological weapons contracting lab called Litton Bionetics. And at the time, Henry Kissinger was National Security Advisor under Richard Nixon, and the White House had ordered the development of these types of germs for depopulation. And it's frightening when you actually go back into the United States congressional record and you read the statements that are in the official record regarding the threat posed by blacks that were burgeoning in terms of the population in Africa, the need for resources, both the minerals, copper, diamonds, oil, all of these resources that were being potentially threatened by burgeoning third world populations, literally were a premier focus for U.S. national security and economic interests back when they were developing the AIDS viruses. And so I then tracked how it was that the laboratory creations got into the Merck Pharmaceutical Company's 1972 through 74 hepatitis B vaccine that was given to gay men in New York City and blacks in Central Africa. And that's what triggered the international AIDS pandemic. And again, when you consider if what I am saying is true, and I believe in my heart it certainly is, the science speaks to it, and I can hold a scientific discourse and debate with any scientist on the planet with regard to the documented evidence. So if that's the case, then... And we live, we think, in a free society, and we practice scientific scrutiny, and we are engaged intelligently as reasonable, loving, capable human beings that want to solve the problems on the planet. We would sit down and we would say, well, if this is the source of HIV/AIDS, then what makes us think that the vaccinations today are not continuing to spread this? Right. But you see, you don't have that. You have everybody shut off to listening to this truth except for you, Roy.
Right. So you've got a situation then, if you've got the third world, and we know we've got problems in the third world, the Africa countries that you speak of, and, you know, perhaps maybe the thinking, you know, I'm not saying it's the right thinking, they might be saying, well, look, if we reduce the population there, we have less of a problem. Maybe you could possibly understand it. But you're talking about allowing hepatitis B, for example, to be put into the American population as well.
Well, this is a global genocide. It's not just a third world issue any longer. And it may have started there, but it certainly has spread internationally. It's not just HIV/AIDS we're talking about. I understand you two are also being, said to require the herpes papillomavirus vaccinations for girls. And there's countries all over the world that are beginning to implement these types of vaccine programs that are untested and very, very risky. And when I say untested, they're certainly not tested in the long term. And they violate the fundamental requirement for all both vaccination policies as well as general public health policies. And that is the litmus test for whether we should do it or not. That is a scientific measure. It's called a risk-benefit analysis. And with all of the vaccinations, to show you that this is not science that's operating in the public's interest, it is a political, in fact, genocidal, money-making, profiteering off of humanity's suffering and drug addiction and drug abuse. This is what takes place when you get sick and then are having to depend on physicians to have you pop magic pills to cure every ill, which cause other illnesses. This is a culture in which we're now evolved into by propaganda through mainstream media and the manipulation of the pharmaceutical industrialists in the use of the media in that way. Even the indoctrination academically and the tracking academically and the science tracking of the granting of various funding groups and organizations, ultimately directing the manner in which science and medical sciences evolve. All of this is literally a part of a large genocidal operation. And that the litmus test to prove it is the fact that we think that this is safe and effective. You know, taking vaccines for avian flu that's going to come get you, for example. You know, the flu vaccine that is being disseminated today, I'm sure it's the same in Britain. These authorities actually have no clue whatsoever whether the virus that's going to come out in 6 months is what they're vaccinating today. And yet they've got everybody lined up thinking that, gee whiz, I better get this. Now, the litmus test that I'm referring to is a risk-benefit analysis. In other words, you've got to know in advance that you're not killing and maiming more people than you're helping and saving by any public health initiative. And to this very day, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize if they don't collect the data on the people injured, and even the Centers for Disease Control in the U.S. say that we don't have 90% of the data on people who are killed and injured from vaccinations. Well, gee whiz, if you don't have the data and you don't have things set up, I mean, you could fly to the moon, but you can't set up disease tracking and surveillance mechanisms within your own public health structure and your own healthcare system to be able to determine in advance, and predict how many people you're going to injure from any given vaccine. That shows you we're not dealing with science. We're dealing with politics and economics.
So
genocide.
What would be, you've got the purpose. I mean, two things that I see out of that. I mean, you know, if you've got a pharmaceutical company, it goes without saying that if you cure all illnesses tomorrow, then you're going to put that that organisation out of business. And obviously they're in the business of making money. So, you know, potentially you could be vaccinating people, which will ultimately in the future provide them with an illness that which will have to be dealt with, and that's more money for the pharmaceuticals. But within addition to that, are we also talking about a purposeful limitation of the population here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, again, you're calling from Britain. You know, what is the love affair that the Brits have with the Germans? Let's look back at the origin of the drug industry. Where did today's multinational corporations and drug giants, the Mercks, the Bayer corporations, come from? Well, you're looking at literally Nazi Germany. That IG Farben, Germany's leading industrial organization, was, for all practical purposes, the Third Reich. Their top officials were the top SS. The person who ran the Auschwitz concentration camp labor facilities was Hermann Schmitz, who was president of Bayer Corporation and the co-owner of the Rockefeller Standard Oil stock, had more shares of Rockefeller Standard Oil Company than any of the Rockefellers did personally. Now, if again you go back in history, you realize that the Standard Oil Company, Rockefeller Standard Oil, refused to give the Brits the oil that they needed to fight the Wehrmacht. And then you realize at the end of World War II, if you follow history, you see the decartelization occurred with the breakup of the companies, and all the money that Martin Bormann ran off with was apparently laundered by some very, very powerful and wealthy individuals, among them Prescott Bush here in the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're looking at a very nefarious, genocidally oriented, and historically proven.
I'm familiar with that.
Untrustworthy.
Well, wasn't it that we're talking? Prescott Bush, of course, would be the grandfather of your current president, and it was the case because it wasn't the there was some prosecution going on of him after the Second World War for assisting the Nazis.
That's exactly right, and that there were a lot of Nazi supporters here in the Rockefeller cartel. I mean, you had, it was everybody from Fred Astaire, who was working, and many of the celebrities in Hollywood were promoting eugenics. This was racial hygiene, that before Hitler got racial hygiene, it started in New York at Cold Spring Harbor Laboratories, directed by the Rockefellers. The Prescott Bush was a major supporter of ethnic cleansing. And again, this was exactly what were, you know, the people who are very powerful today and ultimately control a large measure of the pharmaceutical and the vaccination agenda.
All right. I see. It's City Talk 105.9. Dr. Len Horowitz joins me on the phone this morning. We're talking about things not being quite as they seem. So this is something that's going on at the moment. Then, obviously, if we're talking about vaccinations and things like that, potentially not doing what they say they're doing, what about medical science generally? I mean, are we being given the full picture on that?
No, never. You know, unless you're heavily engaged on the inside and know what's really happening, you know, sadly, we don't have a real understanding. And most medical doctors, who pays for their continuing education? Most of them are invited by the drug industrialists, and they're fed propaganda. They're not fed the full picture. You know, when I was at Harvard and when I was at University of Rochester, I learned from, you know, experience that data is fudged, that people in high-level positions in the academic circles, in order to get grant funding, they change their data, they may take a couple patients out of a study, they may do all sorts of things, and ultimately it really violates ethics and the integrity and trustworthiness of science as well as medicine. Let me give you another example. This is very, very powerful. We have the cures for infectious diseases today. We have
For every infectious disease.
For every infectious disease, there is a simple cure.
Okay.
I know that's hard to believe.
No, I have my own personal views on it, but yeah, please continue if you would, Len.
Yeah. If you go to online, oxysilver.com, oxysilver.com, you'll read about how NASA scientists back in the 1980s took 1950s German technology using water, with a special reactor that supercharged the oxygen with silver. Silver in nanoparticle size combined with oxygen in water is a totally safe, has really, I mean, there's no risk unless you, I mean, you could drown yourself in water, but that's about the worst risk of this particular product because it's simply mineral water. And they use it and have been using it now for decades with NASA astronauts to keep the astronauts healthy in space, to keep the water purified in space. And the water is completely purified through this system of nanoparticle-sized silver hydrosols. So we've advanced even beyond that. But the point of fact is that this has been shown in the scientific literature to kill HIV/AIDS. We just have now an AIDS trial in Africa being completed. We're just starting to write it up. And we have numerous accounts of people having all sorts of infectious diseases, from malaria and tuberculosis to kwashiorkor. All of these diseases simply go away by silver water. Now, gee whiz, how come our physicians are not telling their patients about this? How come instead of silver water, they're prescribing $700 bottles of Cipro, which is heavily toxic and doesn't do anywhere near as good as the silver water does, you know, the oxy-silver? So this is the great tragedy. We have people dying. And we need to start to wake up and start saving some lives and say to these politicians and these drug industrialists, enough is enough.
Mm. If we're talking about the human race, then obviously you just looked at the health aspect of it with these things that you're talking about then. Would it be fair, because we've had people who've come on the show who've said that there is a big plan here through the gadgets that we have, through video game technology, through mobile phone technology, that these are great things that we can communicate with the world through this technology I'm communicating with you now, but that some people believe there's another agenda there, and it's for mind control of the population.
Well, you certainly have the capability with the advancing technology to do that. Let me tell you the worst thing beyond that. It's even far worse than what you're talking about. Certainly through frequency, you can instill thoughts in the United States. In the presidential election, we had previously a candidate called Dennis Kucinich, who did a House bill called the Space Preservation Act of 2003 that called for the elimination of the threat of psychotronic warfare, where you use frequencies from satellites to instill thoughts and feelings and mood changes and behavioral changes in targeted populations. So, but beyond that, we now know that DNA, 93% of its function, or thereabouts, plus or minus one or two, the vast majority of the function of DNA is to receive and transmit light and sound signals. And that 3% only is what we've been taught about, and the whole focus of genetics is all about, where it's a template for protein synthesis and rebuilding cells. It's actually an antenna. Now, if you believe in God, it's an antenna to God. If you believe just that there's a musical mathematical matrix of the universe that keeps the universe spinning, well, then it's an antenna to that. Call it whatever you want to call it. The fact is that if we now know that DNA is a receiver and transmitter of light and sound signals, and we know that those light and sound signals are simply wave frequencies and mathematics at its base, and we even know the core creative frequencies of nature. Science has advanced to that point. We now know that there are 9 core creative frequencies, virtual musical notes, that give rise to all of this incredible universe. Well, guess what? What does that say? That says if you have that knowledge and you want to use it, just like they misused, you know, they used the nuclear engineering during the Manhattan Project to, you know, kill a lot of people. And they said, well, we're doing it for everyone's good. We're going to, you know, explode the bomb, but it's going to be, everybody's going to be happy because we'll have an end to the war. Well, it was, everybody's happy, I guess, if they were out of range. But the fact is that we now have the technology for literally altering what the essence and genetics of human beings are all about. And I'll tell you, I think it's a frightening concept. beyond anything that I think the world has ever even considered.
Well, what would be some of the byproducts of developing this kind of thing?
You could terminate somebody wirelessly, energetically. The space capacities today are amazing. I mean, you know about the satellite technology where we could, from outer space, you could dial up and you can probably, through a satellite, identify the house from which I'm speaking to you in northern Idaho in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? If you can do that and you have the frequency vibration that you could target that house with, you could certainly create all sorts of neurological, physiological, metabolic, psychological, behavioral problems for whatever person you're targeting.
And do you believe they've got this ability now?
I had no question about it.
If that were the case, though, why, I know there'll be an obvious answer to this, why, when you look at people around the world, despots like Saddam Hussein was, and, you know, Gaddafi, why not just use that technology to take those individuals out?
Oh, that's an easy question to answer, Roy, because it's very, very profitable to have done what they did with Saddam Hussein.
Hmm.
Very, very profitable. And by the way, you don't even know half of why they really went in there. What they tell you, you can bank on that not being the real reason why they went in there. You know, there's a fair amount of evidence that the Saddam Hussein had in his museum, and private museum, that is, and treasury, some extraordinary pieces, artifacts, art, spiritual, very precious things. And so that this is, you know, another agenda. You know, what we are getting from the media is not anywhere close to the full picture. And if you look at a puzzle with, let's say, you know, 70-80% of the pieces missing, you're not getting very much.
And my guest on the phone this morning is Dr. Len Horovitz. We got a hell of a range of subjects that we're talking about, where Dr. Horovitz believes that the official version of events is not quite as we're being perceived. Obviously, we've been talking about medical stuff, and we've been talking about this kind of, how could I put it, radio wave kind of warfare on the individual. What about history? If we're to assume that these kind of things have been manipulated, could we assume that history has been manipulated in order for us to think that, I don't know, maybe we developed from chimps, or we developed from the Garden of Eden, all that kind of stuff? How does that fit with you?
Oh, that gets me into my latest work. You know, I actually decrypted the world's most famous drawing by Leonardo da Vinci, the Vitruvian Woman. There's actually a woman behind the man, and I know the women listening would probably say, what else is new? But the fact of the matter is, it relates to this issue of, where did we come from? You know, are we actually, you know, evolving from apes? And I think, personally, I have to say that that's the most ludicrous, bogus thesis that has not been founded in science. It has been attempted to be. It has been promoted as being. And that there are so many gaps and holes in that theory of evolution of the species. Certainly there is survival of the fittest, but again, when we talk now about understanding energy and frequency and genetics, or even electrogenetics, then we understand how DNA works.
Okay. Len, can I just ask you then, before we move on, with regards to that particular theory of evolution, if you like, just give us a couple of pointers as to where you believe the information falls down on that theory.
Well, it doesn't take into account the primary function. 93% of the function of DNA is to serve as a receiver and transmitter of the frequencies,
right,
the 9 core creative frequencies. So in other words, if I were to just, you know, cut to the conclusion, and to understand what I'm about to say, it would be wise for you to read the book, Love the Real Da Vinci Code. You can go online, and you can get snippets here and there. I know there's a lot of people who have taken my work and put it up on Google and YouTube. But if you go to Love the Real Da Vinci Code,
okay,
.com,
right,
you'll start to get into the information that ultimately proves that who you are as a being, as a human being, best defined from the most advanced research, you are a digital. That's mathematical. Bio-holographic, biology and holography. You know what a hologram is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a digital, mathematical bio-hologram that is crystallizing or precipitating, like miraculously manifesting in a quantum field right now, out of water, by frequency vibration. So in other words, you're a musical, mathematical precipitation, crystallization, and miraculous manifestation of either nature's frequency vibrations or God's.
Right.
So that's really now opens up a full measure of understanding about energy medicine, and it begins to take the world of science fiction and bring it into practicality. You know, like in the old Star Trek movies, you had, you know, Bones beam people up,
mm-hmm.
you know, beam me or Scotty, beam us up, Scotty, right? And Bones, little that the physician of Captain Kirk, had a little instrument that put out little frequencies, and suddenly people were healed.
Yeah.
That is where we now are moving. And everything in the world of nanotechnology says that we are beginning to have this opportunity and the amazing capability to produce miraculous healings and manifestations. I'll give you a simple example. Physical healing. Silver bandages. A friend of mine developed those several years ago. And he had a lot of trouble in the United States with the FDA, and they put him out of business. Typical for a front like a Gestapo working on behalf of the drug industry. So a big, big company took that same technology where you take a silver impregnated gauze bandage and you put it on people, and he had done all the principal studies, and lo and behold, wound healing was dramatically enhanced. The silver apparently produces a energy grid over the skin that the spirit or the biospirit or the aura feels like it's the normal. And so in essence, you've fooled the body into thinking that everything is intact, and so it goes on functioning as though it were intact, and all the cells just miraculously and in an enhanced rate begin to fill in and do the healing. Now, friends of mine, when I was at the University of Rochester years ago, studied the same thing with bone healing. Electrical currents would dramatically enhance the rate of bone growth. So this is, again, this whole field of understanding now. If we are bioenergetic beings, then did we evolve physically just over the millennia by, you know, coming out of monkeys? Because if we did, like, where is the templates? There's got to be, if we're literally a grid, just like your computer screen, like, you know, a mathematical formula today, you can purchase fractal computer graphics where you put in a equation and you put into the equation on your computer and your software certain numbers, and the computer spits out a structure, an image of that precise mathematical equation. Well, that's who you are. That's the biohologram. There is an equation for you that is largely associated with your DNA, and most importantly, the water matrix of your DNA that allows it to operate, that if you essentially understand that, then you have a major problem with evolution of the species.
Right. It is a little bit hard to take in, I've got to say, lad. I do get the kind of thrust of what you're saying. But if you're talking about us being, I can't remember the exact term that you used, then are we talking about, that's not evolution. You're talking about somebody who's almost manufactured then, really, aren't you?
I'm talking about the essence of creationism. the science of creationism, not the theology necessarily. I believe personally, my bias and my experience and my knowledge says that theological creationists are supported by the advancing quantum physics, electrogenetics, this whole field of understanding of the musical, mathematical mechanics of the way that this entire universe operates. I believe it has very, very relevant and definitive links to, you know, basically old Bible theology. And so I think most importantly, though, is how are we going to use it to save lives? How are we going to use it to make our own lives better? And we're doing that. We're advancing magnificently with this knowledge to evolutionize everything from music to healing.
But if you've got people at the top who are preventing you from doing that, we're never going to see the benefits of this.
Yeah, but that, again, you know, that is the truth. That what you're saying is absolutely true, and it keeps people stuck in trying. It keeps people, I know a lot of physicists who have advanced Tesla technology and this understanding of how energy of the universe works. Think about it. I mean, Nikola Tesla was one of the most amazing geniuses, but if this world is spinning and the oceans are moving, the power behind that mass and that energy is astonishing. How come we can't tap it? We can't tap it because essentially the technology and the simple—it's simple too. It's not complex. Has been suppressed by the people that you're talking about. But you see, I don't believe that we, as a species, can continue on this degenerative path. Right. I believe that spiritually something amazing is happening. That we are going to now begin, and if not, I don't know what it's like in Britain, but I can tell you what it's like among my circle of friends and family in the United States. A lot of people are having spiritual experiences, metaphysical experiences that are beyond reasonable and rational, that there is a spiritual renaissance that is happening right now that I don't have control over, but I'm looking at the wonderful things that it's creating in my own life, and I'm simply giving thanks for it. Right. So I'm seeing that there's something that is beyond this physical limitation, what I would call a Babylonian lunacy, right, and hypocrisy in which we live.
We're speaking about methods of control here, Len. Could it be that the world of entertainment, movies and music, could be used as a form of control?
They are being used as a form of control. I did a documentary about a year ago, came out, called In Lies We Trust, the CIA, Hollywood, and Bioterrorism. And you can go on Google right now and you can watch the whole thing. We've got it up on Google. It's in 16 parts on YouTube. And we get a lot of support and requests for it to be shown in various places. So what you realize when you watch In Lies We Trust is how steeped in this Hollywood mystique we are, that it's this gross deception of reality, and that unfortunately, you know, the American dream, quote-unquote, is based on this indoctrination of the mindset and in culturalization to this, bizarre consumerism. I mean, look at the word itself, consumer. Okay? It's the whole sum total is a con job, and it's a fraud, and it's a degenerating fraud. Instead of production, we being producing things, we're consuming things, and that's considered norm. And then you begin to think about from that perspective, well, what are we teaching our children? To fear and compete instead of collaborate and love. So you begin to really pull the rug underneath the basic fundamental behaviors, the sociocultural indoctrination, and the outcomes which are degrading, degenerating, violating values and basic human feelings of what is life about. And you begin to then say, holy smoke, where is this coming from? It's the models. You've got parents, teachers, peers, and the media. And Bandura, when I, as a matter of fact, my major area of early of expertise when I was at Harvard University, I studied with Gerald Lesser, Children's Television Workshop, and Ron Slaby, who did the initial work in aggression in children's television. And what we learned from Bandura, who's published about 375 scientific peer-reviewed publications showing how far more powerful the television and film is than even your own parents, your teachers, or your peers.
Mm. Yeah. So when we're talking about if you wanted to get maybe some kind of subliminal message across, then could it be that certain movie makers would be in on the conspiracy?
You know, most of the movie makers are in on the conspiracy. Look at even Oliver Stone. Oliver has done the best that he can possibly do given the restraints of the manner in which money is moved in Hollywood to do his best. And yet he still fears doing some of the work that he wants to do. How do I know that? Because my work was one of the works that were pitched to him by the people that pitch him. And he would love to do it, I was told. But he can't do it. He lost $50 million with his film Nixon, and he got whacked.
Mm. Well, when you say about Nixon, for example, I mean, did he get Nixon right? Or was perhaps maybe there's some kind of manipulation here to make sure that that movie wasn't successful?
You know, that's a good question. At some level, maybe that there was something that I'm not aware of. I certainly would not put it past movers and shakers. They have suppressed books. I've witnessed that. I've had that book that I shared with you, that book, Emerging Viruses, mm-hmm. AIDS, mm-hmm. and Ebola, that was banned. That's been banned from American libraries. It was banned the first time that I came to the American Dental Association with it. They threatened me with a lawsuit if I didn't remove the damn book from the exhibit floor.
Mm. So, I mean, what reason did they give for this ban?
They didn't give any reasonable, rational reason. It just didn't fit their agenda. They said, you do it, you get rid of this, because this is our exhibit hall. Mm. If you want to be here, you will do what we tell you, or we will have you removed.
If we've got a situation, then obviously we're talking about control here, and we're talking that, you know, movies may be made in order to manipulate the mind. How could music play a part in this?
Music is everything. Everything. Again, I said earlier that we have now discovered the 9 core creative frequencies of the universe. It's virtually music. In other words, there's a musical mathematical matrix. You've seen the movie The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you remember where Neo is engaged in dodging bullets in like what appears to be slow motion?
Yep.
Okay, so there's parallel realities. It's like, you know, when you saw the screen during the film, it was the slow motion effect of the bullet going through the air like water. The water waves coming off of the bullet. You remember that scene?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the waves, NASA science has determined that space is full of water. The entire universe is full of water. It relates scripturally to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, there was the creator. There was the water even before there was the word. What is word but sound? What is sound but electromagnetic frequencies? What's that? Waves. Simply mathematics expressing itself through the laws of physics, which are based on, now I'm going to say this, get this, the laws of physics are based on 9 core creative frequencies of sound that is moving through the water universe, hydrated universe. It is a new field of study called hydrosonics, engaging what's called cymatics. You have a brilliant genius in the UK. Can't recall his name right now. It slips me. But he was one of the geniuses who advanced the field of cymatics, which is the study of sound its effects on matter. And that ultimately what you realize is that we're actually witnessing what I told you earlier, the musical mathematical precipitation or crystallization of this dimension. There are parallel dimensions that Neo was going into and out of in the Matrix movie. The Matrix is, if you look it up in Webster's Dictionary, it is defined as something within which something else derives or comes out of. Life, our existence, comes out of music. Nine notes. And so with that knowledge, let me give you another example. You know how some music you feel is stressful?
Mm-hmm.
You don't like it. It's aversive.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? The religious leaders back in the 1400s and began to change the standard tuning of the music. Music in the old days, the old musical scale called the ancient solfeggio, was basically played and instruments were tuned to what nature is tuned to. A is not 440 hertz. A is 417 hertz, 417. This comes from the book Love, the Real Da Vinci Code, and the decryption of the Vitruvian drawing that Da Vinci left behind. And I worked on that one, and basically now that's my 16th book, Love, the Real Da Vinci Code. You learn therein that this whole concept of music, A440, is a dissonant frequency. You know how experts tell us that human beings only use 5% of their brains?
Yeah.
Well, what's the matter with that picture? Does that mean that your creator puts you with a bunch of 95% trash in your cranium to, you know, walk around with on your way to the dump? Mm. You know, that something's wrong, seriously wrong with that picture. Well, what's wrong with the picture the Beatles actually came out with, based on the science I'm sharing? Do you remember the film Yellow Submarine?
Right.
Okay, the animation by the Beatles.
Yeah.
The theme of that was that the Blue Meanies came to the full living color, creative, productive, musical, global village, and they incarcerated, imprisoned the musical instruments.
Right.
They didn't let anybody play music. They silenced the music. And as a result, the full living color creative people turned to fragile black and white. That little green apples and little bombs, the vibrations shattered the people. Vibrations again. Mm. Okay? So basically, what happened was that the religious leaders decided that they were going to dumb us down. They were going to shut off our brains and our spirituality. They did that very easily. They changed the frequency of nature from 417 to man's music, A440. So, you know, what station are you on, Roy?
City Talk 105.9.
Okay, so 105.9. Now, let's say you're at 105.9 and you're grooving off of a wonderful talk or a great music, and suddenly you get out of reach of the clear channel broadcast. What happens?
It goes all misty and hiss, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And it's annoying, right?
Yes.
And if you continue to listen to it, it gets so annoying you get sick, and if you continued even thereafter, you may even die.
Right.
Now, what happens also if you turn from 105.9 to, let's say, 106?
Okay.
You don't even get the music anymore.
Right.
You don't get the clear channel. Now, what happens, you think, then, if you go from A417, that is the universal resonance frequency, to A440? You're going to get static.
Yeah.
And that static is going to fill your body, and it's going to degrade your neurology, and it's going to cause physiological stress and strain, and it's going to make you sick. And on top of making you physically sick, it's going to spiritually impact you, because we talked about spirit being energy, and energy is frequency, vibration. And so now you begin to realize, holy smoke, if that's the case, and Dr. Horowitz is right, we've got to go back to nature. we've got to go back to 417 to tune our instruments to. And that's exactly what we're doing. Now, we're coming out with Live H2O, the concert for the living water. Go on to the internet at www.liveh2o, the concert for the living water, globally, a global event where we're going to educate everybody worldwide, and we're going to put the music of the creator or nature back into the resonating superconductor called the water. And as a result, because your body is 80% water, the change in the frequency and the blessing is going to come out, and it's going to affect you and everybody else.
Interesting stuff. Well, Len, listen, unfortunately, time has beaten me on this, and I would hope that perhaps maybe, because there's still plenty of areas that we could cover, that we could speak again sometime. Len, please tell us if there's a website that people can go to find out more about your teachings.
Well, again, the best one is liveh2o.org. It's a global organization. Next summer solstice, we need somebody in Britain to come forth and participate in putting together a venue. We want to have at least 9 major venues internationally, and we're just having strategic planning meetings right now. So liveh2o.org. My personal website is drlenhorowitz.com. That's spelled www.drlenhorowitz.com.
And that's this week's podcast from the Roy Basnett Show on City Talk 105.9. Don't forget, you can join me live on the radio each weekday morning between 2 and 6 a.m. on City Talk across the Northwest and North Wales on 105.9 FM or DAB Digital Radio. And of course, you can listen live online at citytalk.fm. Don't forget, there are more podcasts available from our other talk show hosts here at City Talk 105.9. Why not try downloading the Pete Price podcast, featuring some of the best guests and calls from his late night show. That's it for now. Catch you next week.
City Talk 105.9, the best of Roy Basnett. Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.